Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Romans chapter 4, and it's really an important chapter in understanding the gospel and understanding the historical context of the Bible. Although you don't have to become a Jew to become a Christian, in order to rightly understand the Bible, you really need to have a Jewish lens. And this is, again, another reason why we have Revering the Word, and one of the reasons we talk so much about having a whole Bible theology. Because until you really understand, a person understands the Old Testament and how it points to Jesus and how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament law, one won't properly really understand the gospel or Jesus until this is understood. In the past three chapters, the Apostle Paul has been making a case that whether you are Jew or Gentile, we're all under sin. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what is earth-shattering in this day and age of not, meaning not our day and age, but the age that Paul is writing this, is that the Jews felt like, man, because God had given them the law and they were the family of God, that they were special. And indeed, they are special, but they almost looked at it as an exclusive thing that, you know, God was for them and not for others. Well, when Jesus Christ came to die, the distinction between Jew and Gentile, Jew and everyone else, got changed. And now, under the new paradigm, the new covenant that Jesus brought in, anyone who believes in Jesus is part of the family of God. And that happens through faith. And we ended chapter 3 it wrestling with these questions a little bit. Or is God, verse 29, or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? And the answer is yes. And again, you're either Jew or Gentile. Everyone else who was not part of Israel is considered a Gentile. Yes, of Gentiles also. That is, God is for Gentiles also. Since indeed God who will justify the circumcised, now the Jews, as again, they circumcised their men to be a part of God's family because he asked them to do that in Genesis 17. But he's saying that they're not justified by circumcision, but by faith. Now we're justified, we're made right by faith because Jesus fulfilled the law, went to the cross, took our sin. Anyone who believes in him, their sin gets put on Christ. Instead of separating themselves from God, the sin that would separate us gets put on Christ. So we're justified by faith. And it's the same for everyone. God will justify the circumcised, the Jew, by faith, and the uncircumcised through faith. All of us now get right with God through faith in Jesus because he took our sin. So then the question becomes, at the end of chapter 3, do we then nullify the law through faith? Meaning, is the Old Testament and the law and all that, it doesn't even matter because now it's just through faith. And in some ways, that is the case, that we don't have to be under the law anymore. But Paul's trying to say that may it never be. On the contrary, we established the law. So the law is what taught us that we were sinners, taught us that we had a need. And it's also the history and foundation of our faith, the Old Testament. And what he's going to do now when he says that we established the law or uphold the law, what he's going to do to indicate that is he's going to say, you know, really, it was by faith the whole time. Really, an Israelite, although they would be circumcised and although they would follow the law of the Old Testament, really, it should have all stemmed from faith. And in fact, even does stem from faith from the beginning. And Paul's going to illustrate that now by the main person who started the family of God, Abraham. Remember, Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name got changed to Israel, and that's how we got the Israelites. It all began with Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 when God said, I'm going to give you the land, and I'm going to bless you, and I want you to be a blessing to the nations. And he began his family through the family line of Abraham. So, now we're ready for verse 1 as he's going to talk about establishing the law, but what he's really meaning is were establishing the law or upholding the law because it was always by faith. So then what shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? What has he found? What has Abraham found? For if Abraham was justified by works, now what he means is by works of the law. He means if Abraham was justified by doing all the laws of Old Testament, then he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, this is a very significant verse. It comes from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And what it says in that verse is Abraham was promised that he would have a child through Sarah, but Sarah was barren, and Abraham and Sarah had no child. And God said to Abraham, Abraham, look up at the stars. I want you to look up there. Check out all the stars. And he said, Abraham, you're going to have as many seed as there are stars in the sky. That from you and from your wife, Sarah, you guys are going to have as many children and offspring as you see the stars in the sky. And it said, even though Abraham and Sarah were barren and they had been barren for a long time and couldn't have children, it says Abraham believed God and it was accredited or accounted to him as righteousness. So even though Abraham couldn't fully see or didn't have what God promised yet, meaning the son Isaac, in which whom God would bless and multiply his family, but Abraham believed it before he saw it. He had faith. And because he had faith, he was reckoned or accounted righteous. God said, Abraham, because you believed in the promise of God, you have right standing with me. So let's keep going as the Apostle Paul spells out the significance of the fact that Abraham believed and was given right standing with God. Now, to the one who works, his wage is credited as favor. Is not credited as favor, but what is due. And he's kind of talking about like a job there. You know, if you go to work, you get a wage, and that's just what's due you. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. What Paul's trying to say is that the one who believes is given righteousness. That's the way it is today, by the way, through Jesus Christ, that if we believe in Jesus, we are given right standing with God because of the fact that Jesus took our sin. But what he's trying to say is in upholding the law and trying to follow the law of the Old Testament, he's saying, really, this all began with Abraham, who believed also and was given righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. And what he means there is apart from works of the law. And now he's going to quote Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. Hallelujah. And whose sins have been covered. See, our sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus. And what he's saying is this Psalm 32, which was written way before Jesus, actually forecasts the gospel. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Hallelujah. Praise God that because of what Jesus Christ did and our faith in him, our sin will not be taken into account because we've been forgiven. Hallelujah. But Jesus is the way to be forgiven. You got to believe in him. So then he says, okay, this forgiveness that we have been able to receive from Jesus, but actually Abraham illustrated this even long ago when he believed in the promise that he would have as many children as stars in the skies, even though he didn't have them yet. So he says in verse 9, is this blessing then on the circumcised? And what he means is by Jews or on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also. See, this is a big deal because the Jews were having a hard time seeing that everyone like us could just come straight to God through Christ and that we wouldn't have to become a Jew first. And that's what Paul's trying to teach here. And what an amazing thing that is, right? When we came to Jesus, we didn't have to go and, I mean, we may have been circumcised by our parents if we were men because of health reasons, but we weren't really doing it to be, you know, part of the family of God. So for we say faith was accredited to Abraham as righteousness. This all goes back to Abraham. And how then was it credited while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Now, that's a really interesting question and an important one. Now, it's really important to understand the timeline. In Genesis chapter 12, God blessed Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you the land of Israel. And I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to have it so that you will be a blessing. That happened in Genesis chapter 12. Now he waited many years, and he still didn't have any children. And in Genesis 15, which we've already talked about, God comes to Abraham again and says, Abraham, take a look up at the sky and see all the stars. You're going to have as many children as that. And Abraham, although him and his wife have been barren now for, you know, their whole lives, he believed, and he was credited righteousness. The question that Paul's asking in order to teach something significant is, when Abraham was promised this and he believed and he was accredited righteousness, was it while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Well, actually, the covenant of circumcision that God put into account, where he said, listen, once you believe in me and come part of my family, I want you to get circumcised to show that you're part of my family, that happened later in Genesis 17. So in Genesis 15, Abraham was already made right by faith because he believed in the promise of God before he was circumcised. That's what Paul's trying to indicate here, because all of the rest of the world isn't circumcised to show their faith in Jesus. You know, we just did it for other reasons. And he's trying to show that we all can be part of the family of God, even though we're uncircumcised, even though we aren't Jews, because Abraham believed and was given righteousness by God before he was circumcised. So was it while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. So Abraham believed God and was given righteousness before he was ever circumcised. And he received, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be accredited to them. See, Paul is really showing that even before the law was fully in place, Abraham believed in God and was given righteousness before the law, before the covenant of circumcision. And that is so that Abraham could be the father of us all, not just Jews, but Gentiles, any of us who believe in Jesus. And when Paul says he's upholding the law, he's saying, really, if you understood the law, you'd understand that faith came before the law. Abraham was made right before the law, and now all of us who have faith like Abraham did, who believe in Jesus, we all become part of the family of God. That's where he's headed. So verse 12, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also who follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. Verse 13, he'll continue to illustrate this. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be the heir of the world was not through the law, but through righteousness of faith. This is a critical thing that Paul's sharing, is that the Old Testament had a law. The Jews were supposed to follow it. They were supposed to be obedient to it. It's not just the Ten Commandments and not just circumcision, but a whole lot more. But what the Apostle Paul is saying is that Abraham was made right by God by faith before any of that ever came into existence. And now that Jesus Christ has come, if we believe in Jesus, we are made right by God just like Abraham was, because Abraham was made right by God before the law ever existed. Therefore, we don't have to go back to the Old Testament and follow all the laws of the Old Testament, because Abraham was made right by faith before the law ever existed. And this is a really important understanding. You know, I'm thinking of people who may or may not be listening right now, and they might whip open the Bible and they might point to something in the Old Testament and say, oh, you people think we need to follow the word of God. Well, here in the Bible, it says that You're not supposed to wear, clothes of mixed fabrics, or you're not supposed to eat pork, or you're not supposed to eat shrimp. Why do you tell me that I have to follow this and follow that in the Bible when you don't even follow the whole Bible? And what they don't understand is we have to understand today what is binding and what is not, what needs to be followed today and what doesn't need to be followed today. And we are not under the law anymore. We are made right by faith. We don't have to, we should go back and learn the whole Old Testament and all the things it had to say, but we have to have a New Testament lens, and we have to look at the Bible and see what Jesus and the apostles said in the New Testament as far as what we're following today. Because although we believe in the whole Bible, we're not under the covenant of the whole Bible anymore. We're not under the Mosaic covenant anymore. We're under a new covenant. We've been saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. And we don't have to go back to the law anymore. This is really important. Verse 14, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation. So what he's saying is it's not people who are heirs of God or part of the family of God. It doesn't come through the law anymore. If it did come through the law, then faith would be nullified, meaning it wouldn't be by faith, but it is by faith, and it's not through adherence to the Old Testament law. But what did the Old Testament law do? It showed us that we were sinners. See, if there was no law, if there was no Old Testament law, 613 laws of the Old Testament, we wouldn't know that we couldn't follow it. But now, because of the 613 laws of the Old Testament, we see that the Old Testament people never rightly followed it. But as a result of those laws being in place, they were violators of the law. They couldn't follow it. And we are violators. And this takes us back then to the theme that Paul's been trying to share for the first 2.5 chapters, is that we all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The thing that the law shows us is that we're sinners, every single one of us. We all essentially would have faced the wrath of God because our sin separates us from God. But what he's trying to share with us is that before the law, Abraham was made right by faith, and now we can be made right by faith. And even though we would be violators of the law too, and we would be under God's penalty or separation because of our sin, God can make us right by faith through Jesus. That's where we're headed. Hallelujah. For this reason, verse 16, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, this says so much. And, you know, I think of all the people that deny the Bible, and they, you know, and I want to say this humbly, but they frankly don't have any idea what they're talking about. They don't even know the Bible. I mean, if you don't understand this stuff, then you don't know enough to deny the Bible. You got to understand it first before you could deny it. And what the Apostle Paul is saying right here is that we've been made right by faith through grace. Hallelujah. Praise God for God's grace, favor, mercy, forgiveness. So that the promise, now when he says that, as someone who knows the Bible, that's really important that you know what that is. So that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are under the law, the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Do you know what's being said here? Is it saying that now those who believe in Jesus have been made part of the family of God, just like a Jew is part of the family of God because he came from the lineage of Abraham? Now those who are of faith, who have been justified and made right by faith like Abraham was, are now a part of God's family. We're now part of Abraham's family through faith. And that the word promise, when you see that, you got to know what that means. The promise comes from Genesis 12 and really those next set of chapters, but it begins in Genesis 12. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you the land, and I'm going to bless the nations through you. And then the promise is, Abraham, you're going to have a child. And it's not going to be through some maidservant. It's going to be through Sarah, even though she's barren. I'm going to give you a child, and I'm going to give you as many family as there are stars in the skies. God made Abraham a promise. Guess what? We are those stars in the sky now. Not only was Israel those stars, but now we, through faith, like Abraham had faith and was made right, we who have faith in Jesus and are made right, are now the fulfillment of the stars in the sky. Now all of us can be part of the family of God through faith in Jesus. We're part of that promise. I'll make you a great nation. I'm going to bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing to the nations. Now the church of Jesus Christ, who believes in him, are part of that blessing, part of the family of God. And we're supposed to be a blessing to those around us by turning people towards forgiveness of sins and salvation through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is the father of us all. We've been made part of the family. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. And again, there's so many things in here that most people would read over. When he says many nations, what that means is, here we are in America, right? God started his family back in the land of Canaan and in Jerusalem and with the Jews and with Israel. But he promised that many nations would be part of his family. And that's Gentiles, not just Jews and not just Israel, and people all over the world. And here I am, really far away from Abraham's land. And I'm in America, in the state of Wisconsin. But I'm a believer in Jesus, and I'm part of that nation, that family of God now through faith in Jesus. And so are you, wherever you may live. I don't care whether it's Russia or India or Australia or Germany, and praise God for people listening in all those places and so many more. You are part of the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You've been grafted into God's family through faith in him. You've been made right by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 17b here, in the presence of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, in hope against hope, he believed. Now, he's talking about Abraham right now. In hope against hope, he believed, because remember, they were barren and they had no children, so that he might become a father of many nations. Again, that's a big word that Paul's using there, not just Israel, not just Jews, but now many nations. According to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Remember, as many descendants as there are stars in the sky. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated, this is Abraham, his own body, now as good as dead, because he was like 100 years old. Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, that he would be a blessing, that he would have the land, that he would have a large family, that it would come through Sarah, that it would come through Isaac, that promise, he was also able to perform. He believed that what God promised, God would do. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. See, because he believed, and that means before the law, before circumcision, 480 years before the Mosaic covenant ever even existed, Abraham believed and was given right standing. Now, listen to what the Apostle Paul says here. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited righteousness. Oh, this is a big deal. Take it in, verse 23. Now, it's not just for Abraham's sake only that it was written that it was credited to him, but for our sake. He's writing to Rome. He's writing to, you know, and he's writing to us. Hallelujah. But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. See, just as Abraham was made right, now all those who believe that Jesus Christ came and died on that cross and was raised from the dead, now we've been forgiven our sin. We've been made right by God. God reckons us and looks at those who believe in Jesus as right, because Jesus took our sin and he rose victorious from the dead over that sin. He was raised from the dead, and one day all of us who believe in him will be raised too, and we will be able to stand before God in right standing because we've been perfectly forgiven by Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And that's why you need Jesus, because he's the one that can make us right, and no one else can. You can't live rightly enough on your own. That's why the first 2.5 chapters tried to convince you and I, listen, you're under sin, I'm under sin, we'd be under condemnation, we'd be under wrath, but God in his great love, while we were still sinners, sent Jesus Christ to die for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made right, so that we could go to heaven. And hallelujah, now the most important thing in all the world is to believe in Jesus, to be forgiven of your sin, and now you begin to live for him in this life until this life is done, and then we get to be with him forever. Hallelujah. It's really important to understand the Old Testament, the sequence of the things that happened in the Old Testament, and that is that Abraham was made right before there ever was a law, and that's why Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, because now, if you believe in him, you're made right. And hallelujah, one day then you can be in the presence of God, forgiven, because you stand that way already through faith. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is. God bless you all.